G'day everyone, and welcome to the show. And returning to the show today is Michael Carter. How you going, mate?
Yay! What's going on?
How you doing, mate? Cheers for coming back on. Ooh, we just had a freeze then for a second.
Yeah.
We're having a bit of internet troubles, but anyway, we'll get to it. Now, we had you last on the show talking about your book, Alien Scriptures, which Whitley's... Yeah. Strieber said one of the best books on it, which is very important to put out there. It's had great reviews. Yeah. Now, you've got another book which recently came out called A New World, If You Can Take It. Now, as I said before, before it cut out, which people didn't get to see, Philip Corso had an experience who's the author of The Day After Roswell, which is a New York best-selling Times book. He was out in the field. He was told not to turn the radar on at a certain time. He did one day to see what would happen, went out, there was an egg-shaped craft that had crashed, very similar to what I filmed actually 2 days ago, and he went into a cave, telepathically got told to go in there, I think, and there was a being in there. He said friend or foe when he drew his gun, the being said neither, and then he said basically, what can you offer me, or what's this about, and he said a new world if you can take it. Now, apparently this played on Philip Corso's mind until the day he died, and... This was all in the book, The New Dawn, is it?
Yes, it's A New Dawn. And like I said, hold on, let me, Dawn of a New Age. And I was I was like, well, why didn't he say this in The Day After Roswell? But when I read the story, I just thought that that's a perfect title for a book. A New World, If You Can Take It. And I wanted to talk about, I'm an ordained clergy person. You know, I have a church here. But as an ancient astronaut, well, we're called ancient astronaut theorist. But, we've already established, I think, that off-world intelligences had something to do with the world's religions. Great. But I wanted to go to the next step because the next question is, okay, so what are we saying? Are we saying that God drives a flying saucer? Are we saying that God is an astronaut? I don't particularly believe that. And so that was the impetus for writing the second book. And also to get people to see that you don't, yes, there are other ways to get in touch with one's own spirituality. Doesn't have to be by religion. But you also don't have to throw religion away, even though if we look at what's going on in the world today, one could easily say, you see, religion is the cause of all these problems. I don't believe that's necessarily true. It's definitely part of it, but so is oil, so is land, so is resources. But I think that one can still get great truths from the Bible or the Quran or the Torah or the Dhammapada, the Upanishads. You don't have to throw it all out because of the way it's been handed down to us.
Now, you've been on Ancient Aliens, haven't you? You've been on that. And this is where you're a reverend yourself, as you're saying, clergyman, and you're doing that. There seems to be, even from my experiences with the beings, there seems to be a connection, whether it's the teachings, like whether it's the Mahabharata or the Judeo-Christian Bible or whether it's the Torah, like you're saying, or the Quran, whatever, there seems to be similar things. And I wrote a book a while back called The History of Man and Alien Civilization where I went into this. And what I say to people is look at the cross-correlations. And because there's teachings there that a lot of it, I believe, has been manipulated. If we look at the King James Bible, it was the authorized version by King James. So things had to be changed in it to suit his agenda. But as I say to people, if you look at the correlations, is that what you've done as well when you look at this?
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I was just talking to someone about, I don't know if you know Gerard Austin. He's a Dutch brother. He lives in the Netherlands. We talk via Skype about once a week, and he's written two books. He's written two books on George Adamski. Mm-hmm. And people like Adamski, who I admire, people like Billy Meyer, even though they're human beings and they have their flaws like we all do, even though no one can disprove Adamski's photographs or Billy Meyer's to this day, to my knowledge, because people say, oh, it's a fraud. But it's the teachings that we want to unpack. I'm not a science person. You know, I'm not into nuts and bolts and propulsion systems and back engineering. I'm more into the spiritual transformation that happens when you see one of these beings. Now, for some people, it's all fear. They don't have a spiritual transformation, but, or at least haven't yet. But the point is that when we look at the teachings of all the world's religions, they always talk about how you should treat your fellow human beings. They all talk about the power of love and forgiveness. They all talk about how we need to be in right relationship with ourselves, each other, and the planet. And so that's what I focus on. Because we can get so busy talking about disclosure. Disclosure is happening right now. You know, we can get so caught up in the noise that we forget the message. And the message is that we fight too much, that we are too violent, that we choose fear over love. And in order for us to go to the next stage of evolution, we're going to have to look deeper. We're going to have to check those things. Our religions are too primitive. You know what I mean? God is Santa Claus. That's not the way the world works. And through all these contacts, that's the message that comes through. So I say, let's not lose sight of the message. Let's not get it all. We made a personality out of Jesus, but we forget his teachings. We make a personality out of Billy Meyer and George Adamski. I'm not equating them with him, but I'm saying whether it's Buddha or we get so caught up in their personalities that it's about the teachings that we want to grasp, not about their personalities. There's always going to be charismatic people. It's the teachings that can help us get through the times that we're getting ready to go through.
Definitely, it's the information, and that's what I've said all along. And one of my great friends who I've got later on this week on the show, Mary Rodwell, she says it's all about the information. And people sometimes want to get it caught up in the personalities and everything else, but it's distraction. And we talked just before this, and I haven't watched the news for almost a year, so I don't know much of what's going on, but I think it's important to know what's going on. I just had to get away from the TV. But like you're talking about what's going on with Ukraine and that at the moment, there is something to it, there's an agenda to it, and it is important, but when things happen, I wonder what's going on elsewhere in terms of what's this taking us away from that's going on at the same time. Because a lot of the time when people get caught up in personality bashing, whatever, and we've all done it, we've all said something we shouldn't, you know, this is part of being the human experience, but it's definitely the information. So with this information, what has sort of sparked your, like, what's some of the top things to you with the teachings and some of the evidence in terms of, let's go into the new book. We can go into the old, the book you've done beforehand a little bit later. What's some of the things, main things in the new book that you'd like to go into that sort of, you know, really, not that, you know, there's nothing better than each other, but some of the main things that you would like to talk about on the show?
Okay. First of all, again, the teachings. Because when I want to take it from information to the wisdom, because we live in an information age. And so it's always noise. It's all information. I got more information than I know what to do with. You know what I mean? I got so much of, if I want to buy a pair of jeans, loose fit, baggy fit, tight fit, you know, I'm like, wait a minute, I just want to buy a pair of jeans. But my point being is that I want to get the wisdom. Because there's so much information, I want the wisdom. I want something that's going to help transform me, help me evolve and change my life. Now, what had happened, I had always heard, and even from you, I think, but a lot of my friends who don't live stateside, they were seeing these beings who look like human beings. They were blonde, blue-eyed people, okay? Good-looking people. And for a while, I've seen the reptilians, I've seen gray, short and tall, and I started getting contacts from these blonde, blue-eyed folks. And so I started reading about Billy Meyer and George Adamski. And last year when I had my leg healed from the blood clot, and I talked about, guess who did it? It was one of these blonde, blue-eyed brothers, big, built like you, I mean, muscular. Mm-hmm. And I said, I started thinking, you know, we don't hear anything about these folks. I mean, not as much. We always see the grays and whatever. But what about these beings could walk down the street and you wouldn't even know who they were? I mean, you would feel that energy because they got some kind of energy going on. But, you know, and I started thinking. And I said, okay, I've seen these people. So now I know they really exist. So some people call them Palladians. So I started looking up about the Palladians and their teachings. And I started looking at the Talmud of Jemmanuel, which the jury's still out on, but that's okay. You don't have to throw out the whole baby with the bathwater. And Billy Meyer. And I started being more intrigued by these space brothers and sisters who look like us. And I said, well, why are we just being fed this information about, you know, the gray, you know, that reptilians, yeah, they look bizarre, but what about the ones who can walk by us? They could be in our government right now. They could be, you know, so I started getting intrigued by that. But I started looking at the teachings, and those teachings were beyond race, beyond religion, beyond your tea party and I'm not. And that's what intrigued me. And I do say that bad religion, we need to get rid of. But religion in itself is not bad. I know very wonderful people who are religious people, but we've got to go back to what that really means. Yes, I could be Baptist and you could be Catholic, but when we get it, you get it that, okay, I'm Baptist, you're Catholic, but in the end we get that that really doesn't mean anything. It means that we transcend that. This is what I label myself. It's like the teachings of Jesus when, you know, he says you have to love the Gentiles. He made Judaism go to the A game. You know what I mean? You don't just love your Jewish neighbor, you love your enemy. You love the Gentiles. You know, you love the Greeks. You love the African. And this is what I find in Palladian spirituality. But this is what I find in all evolved people, whether they're earthlings or whether they're off world. You transcend. You don't let these little things get in your way that I have dreadlocks and you cut your hair, you have blonde hair. You got blue eyes, I don't. It's not about that. And these teachings consistently ask us to get beyond this.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. And I think we need that. And so that's what got me going. And it was a change. And, you know, I said, because I used to be, now, listen to me with this. Because I'm a man of color and I live in the United States and we have our problems here. But I was thinking, okay, these blonde, blue-eyed people, this is just another way for the dominant culture to say, you know, Even intelligence off world don't look like you. But now there are dark skinned ETs, serious.
Well, definitely. And what a lot of people don't know is that I've been a Pleiadian experiencer for all my life, basically. And
see,
a lot of the crafts and that. Yeah.
I thought that about you.
But what people need to know is. Yeah, well, in the Pleiades, there are coloured people. There are Asians, there are black. And what people have got to realise, too, that what we're interacting with from the Pleiades is actually in the future because life can't exist there at the moment. So when we hear about Orion, and I'm from Orion, well, I've lived in the Pleiades, but part of me is Orion. And what they're both mentioned in the Bible, and this is where time doesn't exist to these beings. So this is where they're popping in and out. There is a connection to humanity, and there isn't just Fabio looking people like Barry Littleton. He's a he's a Negro as well, and I've had him on the show. He's a very good friend of mine, and I don't know if you've seen the shows with Barry Littleton, but he talked the same thing, that not all these ETs look like Fabio, which people need to know. They're not just blonde hair and blue eyes, so these dudes do exist, but it's multicultural in the Pleiades, and that's very important. So, and now with Billy Meyer, I think he's definitely had experiences, but what I don't agree with is that he said he's the only experiencer. He says today he's the only experiencer out there. So this is where the information is very important, and we can't get carried away, but I believe Billy's had experiences. I just don't think he's the only one, but this is where definitely what you're saying, especially with the Talmud of Emmanuel, I think that's important to look at, and like you said, you can't throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, and so we're on the same vibe. And so for me, when I saw these blonde blue eye people and they healed my leg of that blood clot, and then just the other day I was meditating and I was sitting over here and where my Buddhas are, and I'm sitting there and I'm meditating about 10 minutes and I see these faces from here up. Good looking. I mean, the other one could have been a woman. It was like they were standing next to each other. The hair was about here. A t-shirt like this, you know, blue. Blue eyes. Gorgeous people. And I said, my God, they're around me. They're trying to contact me. So I love it. But you know, living in the United States, because if you're not blonde, blue-eyed, then you're not really beautiful. So all that stuff went through my head, and I had never seen them. I heard about them. But then when I saw them and they healed my leg, it was like them saying to me, Michael, all blonde, blue-eyed people are not bad people. All blonde, blue-eyed people, we don't think about race the way your country does. I know what you're going through. We don't think about religion in that way. They don't have the petty BS that we have.
They're beyond it. They've transcended it.
They don't care. And I love that because I don't care either.
No, but that's important. It is important because I've come across people like yourself that are, you know, black people from America, and they've said the same thing. And then they've said, Pete, I haven't wanted to come forward because apparently we don't have experiences. And I'm like, well, no. That's what you've been, I guess, you would think because of how this is even being presented in the media or in mainstream ufology. And here, this is why it's great to have people like yourself and Barry on the show, because it shows all cold. I've got people from, and like Mary Rodwell has said as well, it doesn't matter what race, religion, background, economic status, people from all walks of life are having experiences.
Yes, and the people look like, Mary Rodwell, she's on she sits on the board of Free.
Which I'm also on and you're on as well.
Yes, so we're all on. Yeah. But so that's what got me going. I love the Bible. I love the wisdom in it. I love reading the Upanishads and what I love it. And that's not the only way. I love being in nature. You know, I love being in the woods and, you know, I the trees and I love it. But I know some people say, see, Derek, the Bible makes you against homosexuality and you're against race and you're against women. And no, that's not true. That's what the people who wrote it, that was their mindset. But they were human beings. They were trying to describe what was going on in their time. Mm-hmm. And so just because somebody said something 5,000 years ago doesn't mean it has to be true now, but you don't throw the whole baby out.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Loving your enemy, loving your neighbor, you keep that. Those things you keep. How do I treat my neighbor? You know, those things, they're wonderful lessons in this book. They're wonderful stories in the Psalms and in Ecclesiastes and all. I mean, the poetry, it's beautiful. But it's about what we make of it. You know, my parents are religious, not like me. They're not bad people. We just watched the movie Selma. You know, Gandhi was a religious person. Gandhi was a religious man. That doesn't make religion bad. They took the best of their religions and their beliefs, and they tried to live them.
Well, that's important. And this is where it's putting it into practice. And everyone's so busy out there judging others and everything else. And look, again, it's part of the human experience, but what's also part of the human experience is self-mastery, which Jesus did and Muhammad did. And this is where we have to screw up. And screwing up helps us evolve individually. And the more that do it individually as a collective, we raise our consciousness. So this is where I think it is very important, like that, what you're saying and getting into, that these teachings with the cross correlations and everything like that, it is important. What's when you look at, say, the God connection, which I know yourself and myself, we see God as all that is, like a huger part than what some will try and say God came in a flying saucer. But if we look, I guess, at the Elohim, Yahweh, some of these beings in the Bible, to you, have you been able to sort of pinpoint or get some idea who these beings actually were or where they're from? Because I've interacted with beings that presented themselves as the Elohim, and now later it's been known that they're the Anunnaki, the same beings. But and that there's different factions. Some would say archonic, which, you know, some would say a demonic or the djinn or, you know, whatever the people want to term it. But what's been some of the things that you've found interesting and your thoughts on some of these beings that came here long ago and has seeded us with knowledge?
I you know, that's a great question. All I can say is, yes, the Elohim were here, the Anunnaki, because there's so many different races. Mm. And within those groups, there are subgroups. There are Anunnaki that may not be the best friendly people, and there are some that are. There are Elohim that may not be. And so what I've tried to do is, by their fruits you shall know them. I mean, I've run into some energies that were very unfamiliar to me or what have you, but I think, like you said, that's part of the journey. The beings that I have come in contact with have been so loving. Now, I've had, you know, things poked and prodded a little bit, not like anal stuff or sperm, but like I remember when the Grays first came and they put a needle right here in the back of my head where my spine, and I got to tell you, that hurt. And I asked them not to do that. And the second time they put a needle in my crown and they listened, it was like I didn't feel it at all. But I think you can get to the pituitary gland or somewhere from back here. I don't know. But it was like I needed to go through it. But it just made me more loving. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that that wouldn't have happened without them. But I'm saying something shifted in me where I went from here to here, even deeper. So Elohim, Anunnaki, Palladian, praying mantis, reptilians. If I ever meet all of them, some of them I have met, I just have to go by the one-on-one, like I would do with a human being. Mm.
Well, that's exactly right. Like for myself, people go to me, how do you know that they're not deceiving? Whatever. Now, some can deceive, but like I said many times on the show, and what you've just pointed out, I go by the fruit from the experience. So yes. If I evolve and it learns me more about loving each other and about evolving in the oneness, I go, well, its intentions are good. If it's not really with that, well, then there might be another agenda. And like you said, it's just like meeting another human in terms of judging intent and the energy that you get from it.
That's right. And that's how I try to walk through. So, I mean, they're all here. They've been here longer than I've been here, at least in this body. You know, I've been other places. And so I try to take it in that vein. But what's really intrigued me is the blonde, blue-eyed folks, because I have to admit, I had a bias against that. Because I said, oh, this is just another thing of God is blonde, blue-eyed, or the blonde, blue-eyed people are the good people, but the darker or the gray or whatever, you're not. And that was in my mind, and I get tired of hearing that. But when my leg was healed, it was one of these brothers, and he had a hood on, like a cowl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, but I could see the blonde hair. But when they came in and the telepathy, they were beautiful. And he didn't have a hoodie on. It's not a hoodie, you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. And they just looked at me right here.
Mm-hmm. I've had the same thing happen. I know, yeah. I know exactly.
Like we're looking now. They were like this.
Yeah.
Like they were just looking at me. And I looked at them. But I felt good. Mm-hmm. I felt peace. I felt love. I didn't feel like I'm going to go outside and hit somebody in the head and take their money or something. You know what I mean? Mm. You know how people get. So that's how I go. If it makes me more inclusive, then it's been a good thing. Definitely. If it makes my heart open, it's been a good thing. But if I start getting agitated and start getting fear, then I have to say, well, what's going on? Mm. What's going on?
What comes to mind when you've had that experience with the Nordics? What comes to mind when you've had those experiences in terms of the communication? Because as we know, that I call it thought transfer or telepathy, whatever people want to call it. But do you know why they're contacting you, or is there past life connection? Like, what's your spin on how they're connecting with you and why?
I think it's a past life connection. I also think that it's to say, Michael, I know you live in a country. Look, I chose to come back in this body this time. Mm-hmm. I've been a man, woman, gay, straight, all bit. But it was almost like they were saying, I know it's rough, but we're here for you. We're here with you. But I also know that I started seeing them, and then you asked me back on the show. And then I meet Gerard. He's in the Netherlands. We'll talk this week. And I was so focused on grays and reptilians and blah, blah, blah. And meeting y'all has been like, okay, what about the ones that look like you? You know, you can walk right by them. And they inspire me because I'm saying, even though I'm a human being in this life, but I can become evolved like that. Now, it may take me many lifetimes, but I'll be able to handle technology and let it not rule my life. I'll be able to open my heart more and to have more patience with people, to have more patience with myself. I think that's why they come. But this is the other thing. You know that what I do is I'm a diversity and anti-racism consultant, which is needed here in America in a big way.
But we need it here too.
But I'm talking about not just race. I'm talking about religion, da, da, da. So to me, when I see these different races, it makes me, it's a continuation of what I do here on planet Earth. It's diversity. How do we get along with people who don't look like us, have different sexual preferences, have different ideas about life? How do we navigate and negotiate that in a peaceful way? So when I see the reptilian, when I see the little gray brother, when I see now the Nordic people, that's diversity, right?
Definitely.
When they look at me. Yeah. So to me, it's a continuation of the work that I'm doing.
What I'd like to say here on this, and I've mentioned this a lot of times to a lot of people lately, and this is when somebody's doing something we don't agree with, or somebody's done something hardcore, like they've shot somebody, or, you know, whatever it is, a lot of people point the finger and they go to judging. Now, I'm not saying shoot somebody or anything like that, but what I'm saying is what we don't do a lot of the time as a civilization and individually is go why or why not. So my question to you would be, why do you think we do the judging that we do? Do you think it's because of education? Do you think it's because of those, our elders? Or do you think also, which is lately has been proven to be a part in a lot of things and traits, which is with our genetics, our ancestors' traits are actually found genetically in us now. So people who are predisposed to alcohol and drugs, if we try that, we're basically going to get addicted if they were, because there's traits, and it could be sexual preferences, it could be types of food we like, it could be traits of violence or even non-violence, you know. So these things are into play, but because it comes down, like, just from my opinion, it comes down to, I guess, education and being an example. If kids could see that I'm not judging somebody by the color of their skin or their sexual preference, then if that's the kid seeing that, that's going to help it not be like that as well. Do you understand what I'm saying with this? Do you think this is where
and
it lies?
I agree with you. I think it's all of every. I think it's everything you said has something to do with it. Listen, kids don't come into the world hating. That's a learned behavior. I once heard that kids are born with two fears: fear of falling and fear of a loud noise. Anything else is learned. But I think that we've been taught to fear difference. We've been taught that if you something good happens for you, that means there's less good that's for me. If you get more attention, I don't get more attention. You got more oil, there's not enough for me. There's not enough love, there's not enough fear. And so we grow up with that. And we have to unlearn it, which is difficult, because sometimes it's more difficult to learn to unlearn something than to learn something new. Education plays a part, but you can have education. Look, Weimar Germany in the 1930s had more PhDs than almost any country in Europe, but they were still making soap out of people, okay? So, and you know, you can have educated people who are just as racist and bigoted. But I think if we start to unlearn, and we do see it, We see it now. The world is changing. People are saying we're not going to, whether it's marriage equality, whether it's we don't want 80 people running, owning half the planet's wealth, a fair minimum wage. I mean, you saw people, at least here in the West, people are really saying we've got to do things a different way. So it's human evolution. It's slow sometimes, it's glacial, but like you said, it all begins with us. I think people get overwhelmed because if I pick up a newspaper, there's ISIS, there's Ukraine, there's another oil spill over here, there's another person being shot, there's rape on college campuses. Why don't I just jump out my window? But the point is that if we focus on what we can change, it's like 12-step program. Give me the serenity and the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. And people get overwhelmed because they think I got to do something about all these problems. No, you don't. All you have to do is change yourself. And that's how the world changes. I can't call Mr. Putin and Mr. Obama and say, what the are you thinking about? But I can go out here tomorrow on my way to work and give a kind word. Maybe I'll pay the toll for the car behind me. Maybe I can do something to change. That's all I'm responsible for.
Definitely. All we can do is work on ourselves, and enough of us do it, like I say, that will project outside of ourselves.
Yes.
It's just got to take time, and all of us making moves, you know, we've just got to do something. You know, it's better than doing nothing, and it's working on you, and you feel good when you do this. And again, we're going to continue to step up, but it's just concentrating on one thing at a time and overcoming. Okay, we're just back. We just had the connection stop there. Now, we're getting to the part how basically the beings we're interacting with, they've been where we've been as well. So it's not like we're the worst things in the universe. We'll take it off from there. Sorry about that.
Okay, no, that's what I wanted to say. The beings had told me that they're not here to take over anything. They're not here to get involved to an extent politically or whatever. But they are saying that they're trying to help us go to the next stage of evolution. And in order to do that, we have to grow up. We have to stop being so fearful. We have to stop destroying each other and the earth. They don't understand it. I don't understand it. You don't understand it. And that was told to me. That was told to me through a psychic as well as through the beings. And that there is a past life connection for me and them. This is not the first time that we've been, and I may have forgotten because when I first saw them, I thought I was going to have a heart attack. But we have a long history. And so and they also let me know that I chose to do this time around. This is not something that was forced on me or someone said, look, Michael, I'll pull the trigger. No, this was something that my spirit volunteered for before I came in for this life, was to preach love, to practice what I'm preaching, but also to spread the word that we are not alone. And that we are all one, and that we need to really embrace that if we're going to survive as a species. So I'm just doing what I said I was going to do.
Now, and I find that 9 times out of 10 so far, if not, you know, I could pretty much say 100% of the time, that's the case with every experience that they learn down the track. That's been the case for everything you've just said is exactly the case for me. I seem to have more past life recollection than most.
Yeah.
But then this is just how it plays out. The mission, I call it Operation Starseed, it's tailored for the individual to partake as a collective to do the mission. And the mission is to come here and play part in humanity, because we can't change it from outside. We've got to change it from within and come here and experience the human experience and partake in it and change it from within. And I see the beings that don't reincarnate here at the time, they're sort of like the military that in the helicopters or the first aid, they come and pick us up. They do what seems like an abduction. So some people do get abduction, but I think that's more military based though. some do things to us that we perceive as bad, but it's agreed upon on another level. But you don't learn this until you get to a certain stage, and we're all at different stages, but what you're saying is what I've experienced and a lot of others experienced. They go, I shit myself. I was scared what that did. It did hurt, like you said, about that thing, and that these things do hurt. But
they did hurt. But the bigger picture was, and the book, I go back over the Bible stuff a bit, but I want people to explore the spirituality that these beings are talking about. And even not just the beings, Gnosticism, knowing yourself, communing with nature. There's even a chapter in there about atheism. And so I want people to decide, I can stay with, these books and look at them a different way, especially in light of other world intelligences. Or I can say, I don't want to do that. I want to go a different route. Maybe I'm more spiritual than religious, but there are options, but you don't have to throw everything out. And that's what's going to make us have a new world.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Because the world doesn't have to change. Like A Course in Miracles says, the way I look at the world changes.
Definitely.
And that's how the world changes. Yeah. So it's not the world as I look at it.
No, definitely. So with the book, it obviously covers a wide area of not just sort of like ancient history, I guess, in terms of when you look at, that and the ancient astronaut theorist side of things, but also the spiritual aspect.
Yeah.
What's some of the other things that sort of tie into this that you've learned as you wrote this? Because one thing that I've learned when I wrote the books that I have is not only do I learn more about my experiences, I actually connect dots that I had no friggin' idea were there unless I wrote the book.
Yeah, well, what keeps me going is like what you said, Michael. I've had the same experience. I've got that same outlook, and everybody else. And so that means that we're not all making this up. But I tell you what, the teachings when I started to practice. I mean, yes, I went to therapy and done all these things, working on myself. But I found that I've come to know more of who I am. Not just as an individual, but as a spirit. I become more loving. I live my life less fearfully. I'm more easy now to say, it's easier for me now to say, I'm sorry. I'm asking your forgiveness. I was wrong. I'm afraid. I love you. It's just made me put down my sword and shield. And those teachings helped me, whether they were from the Buddha or whether they were from Jesus, because I believe all of that comes from star people on some level. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm trying to get to. That's what I try to do with my congregation. Because these are lessons. I mean, what we're talking about, this is not new. Before Jesus, people were talking about this. Then comes Jesus. And then you have Buddha before them and Lao Tzu. And you have Dr. King. And you have Joan of Arc. And you have, it's just hard to do. People, it's not sexy. You just got to roll up your sleeves and you got to say, I'm going to love somebody today. I'm not going to let my button get pushed. I'm not going to let the media tell me what I'm supposed to fear. I'm not going to get mad at someone who's a Tea Party person, and I'm not. It's an intentionality, and it's difficult, but it can be done. And anything worth having is worth working for. And that's what I got from these beings. I got it from studies. I got it from 7 years of Gestalt therapy. I got it from seminary and pastoral counseling. But it made me go from up here to here. Because I know it up here, but it's how do I do it here? When someone cuts me off in traffic and I want to give them the bird, or road rage, or, someone gets on my nerves, I don't feel like hearing this story. Or even with my wife or something, she says something, I say, the ego gets in there. But these teachings help me to go, wait a minute, not all the time, I'm human, but I'm evolving. I'm going to a higher vibration, and people feel that. It's not, I always say this, and you said it too, at our last. I don't care whether you go to Bible study every Wednesday night and you're in the mosque on Friday or you're in the temple. I know what you believe by how you treat me. That's how I know. And that's how you'll know from me. Okay? And not by their fruits you shall know them. And so that's just made my life so much easier, because I know people who go to church every Sunday, or they go to the temple and they pray and to the east, and some of them are the most bigoted, short-sighted people I've ever met. But yet they're doing the right thing. But I will know what you believe by how you treat me and how you treat this
plant. By their fruit. Again, it's by the fruit, isn't it?
Yes. Yes.
With all this, do you see... I guess what I'm trying to say here is, how do you see other religions, other reverends, other people that are churchgoers, do you see that going the way sort of how you have? Do you see some, like, I'll tell you now, I've met some Catholic priests that will blow people's minds, right, in terms of how good they are, in terms of their intention of even screwing up their own practice, in terms of, hey, this isn't right, or this is right. Like, they've stood up for gays, they've stood up for a lot of different rights, where a lot of people won't.
Look at this pope is doing it.
So this is where, do you think there's a change more than ever now with people within the religion changing things within the religion to not just keep it going, but in terms of equal rights?
I do. I believe, I love Victor Hugo's quote, "No lie lives forever." And I do see people who are trying to come together, who say, you know, listen, if you want to go to California, okay, I'm going to hitchhike, you ride your bike, you may fly. We're still going to California. We're just going our different ways. You're going as a Baptist. I'm going as a Catholic. You're going as an atheist. We're still going to the same place. And I still see that more and more. I know why people look at the world today and they think Jesus is going to come again and it's going to be the end of the world and the apocalypse and all that. And that's a possibility. But like, what's it, Heisenberg's uncertainty principle? There are probabilities. And what we focus on, we create. If you're broke and you focus on being broke, you're just going to be more broke. But if you focus on abundance, then it starts to creep in. We create the world we want to see. So do I want to focus on the end of the world, nuclear holocaust, or do I want to focus on a new world if I can take it? What we focus on, we create. I mean, it's part of
business. Definitely. And if we look at some churches and that, like there's been some mornings when I used to wake up and look at the TV a year or more ago, because it's been that long, and you'd see some preachers going on about the nuclear holocaust that's coming and World War III, and then some were so empowering on in another angle. Then you've even got with the child scandal with the Catholic Church, some just not trying to even go there, and then some going there that are within the Catholic Church going, this needs to look at, though they be ridiculed. But like you said, the lies being recognised for, you know, a lie can't live forever, and this is where with the child scandals and all that, which have happened, and I was somebody that was abused sexually as a kid, so, and I've been always open about that because I don't have nothing to fear. I did nothing wrong, and I hope it helps others overcome it. And I forgive and I forget, you know, it's just the way it's got to be done. But this is where a lie can't live forever, and I think those that, like yourself, you know, you're a prime example of how, you know, there are people in these groups that are preachers, whatever, and you're open-minded and you don't judge. This is what it's about.
No, yeah, you know, people are on their path. And, you know, that doesn't mean that you don't let people walk all over you or beat you up. Or, I'm not saying that. You got to use common sense. But I just don't, you know, I just say if that's... One thing I've learned is that I don't need to be right all the time. I don't need to be right. I didn't come here to be right. I came here to learn to live and be at peace. And so that's helped me out a lot. Now, some of that is getting older. I mean, you know, I'll be 58 this year. Some of that is my own meditation and prayer life. Some of that is living life, and some of it is from them. But I don't have to be right. I can allow someone else to be right, even if they may not be. I just don't get into that anymore. I don't argue with people about stuff, even about this. I tell people, this is what happened to me. These are my books. If you don't like it, turn off the radio. Mm. Or don't buy the book. But I'm not going to argue with you. I don't have the time, you know, and it's okay. You don't have to believe in this. And so it's just brought me a lot of peace.
Mm.
It's brought me a lot of inner peace. You know,
and have you learned a lot about yourself from this in terms of, because that's what it's, and this is what a lot of experiences come down to, is they learn a lot about, instead of out here, they go within and they come to a lot of the same stuff that you're doing, which is who cares if that person is right or wrong? It's just the energy to even go into the thought of that is just like so draining.
Yeah. And it's whether it's my professional life, whether it's my relationship with my wife and child, I just don't have to be right. And I didn't know how many times, that's really when it came down to it. I mean, you know, I may say, well, it's because she did this or she, but it really what I get was that power struggle. I have to be right. Mm. I don't have to be right. And if I am, I am. I mean, I love it, but I don't have to be. And so I look at the world in a different way. And then if I'm peaceful inside, I'm going to have peace outside.
Mm, definitely. And I guess we could look at it the other way too. And I've mentioned this to a lot of people before, is that it's like as if you can't even be wrong these days. Like if you're right, nobody says anything. And that's cool. But if you're wrong, if you screw up, straight away the finger's pointed and they try to, it's like you've got to be brought down. And it's like, I don't see, you know, some things people have got to be put in their place if it's totally violating others around them. And it's not, you know, it's totally unjustified. But if it's something that, you know, a decision people have done, they've had an accident, it's like people will jump on the bandwagon and try to bring people down. But I think we have a right to be wrong just as much as we have to be right because of how we evolve from it.
Yeah, and see, that's what these beings are talking about as well. Maybe not in the same vernacular that we're saying it, that we're speaking it, but that to embrace change, to learn to, you know, look at ourselves to create the world that we want. But where can we grow? Where can I look at my shadow side and what have you? And it's been a wonderful journey. It's the journey without distance. Because it's not out there, it's in here. And I had an Apache Native American friend tell me several years ago, he said, Michael, the longest journey we'll ever take is from here to here. And that's always stuck with me. But again, it's the same message that I've been getting from my contacts. And I'm going to keep talking about it. I have the audacity to have hope. I have the courage to believe that love is, as Dr. King said, love temporarily defeated is still more powerful than so-called evil triumphant. I believe that, and I will always believe it, and I live it. And to me, it's just a grand adventure. Do I get things happen? Yeah. I had a brother murdered. I had an ex-brother-in-law murdered. I've had challenges in my marriage and relationships, but I've grown, and that's all I can ask, and that's all I'm here to do, is to be the change I want to see. If I want love, then I need to be love. If I want to have more friends, I need to be more friendly. You know what I mean?
Oh, and that,
yeah, so that's what it's all about. And you don't need a space person to tell you that.
No.
Life needs to do that, but it helps. And that's where I got the book. And I hope the love that I feel, some of it is in the book.
No, it's been getting great reviews already. Would you mind going back to Alien Scriptures as well? Because that's the first book that you've done.
Yeah.
That's had fantastic reviews as well. So both books, your other one, the new, latest one's only been out a few months, but it's had awesome reviews. But people love the way you write. They love how you go into this and represent and actually tell things like it is. Would you mind giving people an overview of Alien Scriptures?
Sure. Alien Scriptures is about the first part of the book I tell my story. I come out of the closet, as it were, and put it on paper about my initial contact experiences. I still have them, but initially. So that's there. And how it led me, a man who was raised a Baptist, a Baptist person who didn't believe in UFOs, and how my contacts led me to certain books and led me to say that if you look in the Bible and everywhere you see angel, if you put extraterrestrial, it just makes more sense. Mm. And it took me on that journey. Who was Jesus? Was he a hybrid? How does Judaism play into this? I mean, all those things, I tried to get it into Alien Scriptures, even though it's a short read. But basically, I'm saying that the Bible and the Quran were influenced by extraterrestrial intelligences. Yeah.
Definitely.
And that's where I go with that and how I come to those conclusions. I stand on the shoulders of a lot of people. My good friend and colleague, Dr. Barry Downing. We differ on theologically. He's a retired Presbyterian. We differ theologically, but he was one of the people. I read his book, and I said, here's a clergy person writing about UFOs in the Bible. Then, of course, there was Morris K. Jessup, who died under mysterious circumstances back in the 50s. A woman named Reverend Virginia Brasington, who's from this part of the country. She's gone on to her transition. She's died a while back. But she wrote a book about religion and UFOs. And to me, that's what it's about. It's about a new spirituality, if you will, where the technology and the spirituality come together.
It's got to be balanced.
Yeah, they have this wonderful technology, and it doesn't seem to rule their lives. They just use it, but they have the spirituality, which we don't. I mean, we got all these drones, and we split the atom, and we make weapons. So we have the technology, but we don't have the spirituality even to deal with the technology that we have. We can be very dangerous.
Mm. Nah, definitely, definitely. With ancient aliens and looking at that sort of things, do you think this has been a good way for an entertaining, because it is entertaining, let's give it that, but to get it through to, I guess, the average Joe, you know, that's just sitting back watching pay TV or whatever their format is, and because it is entertaining. You look back, there is artifacts, there are scripts, there are tablets, there are ancient civilizations, remnants that are friggin', we look at it, there's no way we can even recreate it today in a lot of ways. But when you mix all this together and you put it in a package of the show, how's it been for you? And have you had many comments even from, I guess, churchgoers or people that you're friends with about you doing your job plus doing that show as well?
Yes, I have. The show's been on for 7 seasons. I never thought they'd be on that long, but you know, people are tuning in. I have a little bit of celebrity. I was in a bar having a couple beers several weeks ago. Some people came over to me and started talking to me. They saw me on the show. At church this past Sunday after my sermon, someone came up to me and said, I got your book. I'd like to talk about that with you one day. So, people that I wouldn't even suspect would even be interested in the topic say, oh, I watched that show. And I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, you watch? You know, so I'm like, wow. And yeah, but it's the timing. Listen, in the United States, the numbers are, I'm pretty close. With surveys will 48% of the American people believe that the government is lying about what they know. 50% of the American people believe that there's life on other planets. So we have, what is it? New Zealand, I think, and we know Brazil, Mexico, France, Britain, Russia, China. They've all released some of their UFO files.
We have too. There's been a few here, and I think there's been a big thing about America doing it, but Project Blue Book's been there for a while, but there is a slow release, and I think shows like that are helping that.
That's disclosure. We're waiting for Obama or maybe next President Clinton or President Bush, whoever's going to be, We're saying they're going to come out on the White House lawn and have a big news. Maybe. But we can't wait for that. But disclosure's happening right now. You know, when you put your video of Kraft up, that's disclosure on Facebook. People are taking pictures of things in the sky, airline pilots, military people, policemen, doctors, lawyers. Hey, man, I've seen this. I mean, people are coming out of the woodwork. That's disclosure. Yes, it would be nice if the president of the United States said, guess what, folks? But that may not happen for a while. But meanwhile, it's happening right now. It's happening right now. Shows like this contribute. This is disclosure. This is disclosure. I got an email today from somebody in Bangladesh, India. When we hang up, I'm going to get back to them, who's seen Ancient Aliens and wants to ask me a couple questions. This is the power of that little show. People in India are watching it. And so it's an exciting time to be alive. It really is. And I know 20 years ago, I wasn't even talking about this. I was talking about my research, but I wasn't saying, hey, guess what? I've seen these people too, because I probably couldn't get a job. Maybe my wife would have, well, she wouldn't, but you know what I'm saying? Mm. It takes courage to get out here and say this stuff.
It does.
But everybody's saying it. But everybody is saying, hey, when I say, yeah, it happened to me, then two other people say, really? Can I tell you what happened to me? So when I get vulnerable, someone else feels safe enough to be vulnerable too.
Mm-hmm. No, and it's an important, and it wears off. It's saying that it's okay. It's okay to talk about it. And it's okay. Just taken this many years for it to snowball. Like, there's many people that paved the ways from the 40s to the 50s, and then we started to hear a lot more about it in the late 50s, early 60s. And by the 90s, it got way out there, you know, with Whitley Strieber and Bud Hopkins and John Mack. Yeah. And then it just snowballed. Definitely. Yeah.
So, and it's snowballing. And I think that that's the way the visitors want it. I think, you know, they're not going to all these big shot politicians and what have you. They're going to the common people.
Definitely.
And say, yeah. Yeah.
Look, we'll wrap the show up there. I'd love to get you back on in time. I'd like to have you as a regular guest as well, because we can just cover so much. There's so much to get into with this and different aspects. But look, thank you so much for taking the time. Thank you for being you. And I love you, mate. And thank you for all the work that you're doing. It's really appreciated by all of us.
Let me know when you come to the States. Don't forget. Just send me a thing. We'll talk between that. Yeah, I can be on any time you want. We can talk about current events. We can talk about anything. Just let me know. But send me a link, because I like to send this to people. So they
I will. I'll send you a link as soon as this is up, and to both the video and audio version. But Michael, mate, thank you very much, and we'll talk soon.
Yes, God bless, and be safe.
You too, mate.
Be safe. Thank you. Be safe, brother.
I will. You too, mate. Bye-bye.
Okay.